Visiting today with Dr. Seth Bird at OSU, talking cotton today. So let's start off talking about, I know this is kind of a downtime for cotton, but I know that we've been talking a little bit about trials, and you said that you've completed your yield report for your variety trials. So kind of tell us what it looked like.
Yeah, we got the yields out probably back in January. And, you know, it was kind of like we thought. It was variable. It really reflected the weather we had in the year, and we lost some trials. So the majority of our trials were going to be focused in the Southwest. We had one up in Canute. So that was our West Central location, dryland trial. And, you know, our drylands did okay. I think most times if you get a bell and a half dryland in a lot of places, you're probably happy with it. Our irrigated trials, it was variable. You know, we've got one that's in the irrigation district, but this is one of those years where being in the irrigation district probably didn't mean the same thing it does in most other years. There was a limited water. I think this particular field got two irrigation events. So it was a very unique year, you know, to look at the variety performance across, you know, again, mostly the Southwest part of the state. I know we talked about quality a lot. Our quality was pretty good this past year. Most trials, the average mic was in that sort of premium range, which is always nice to see. So no super low mic. One of our earlier planted trials had some low mic issues, and that really reflects those sort of delayed maturity conditions we saw throughout May. But overall, you know, the quality was good. The yields were good. And so it was everybody always says every year is different. And that's for sure. And our trials always sort of reflect that.
What do you think is going to be the biggest differences between this year and last year?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, we obviously have the drought that's ongoing and has been going for a while. So I'm sure that's going to come into play at some point. But there's been a lot of interesting weather situations that we've had throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the unique thing about 2021 was you had this combination of weather conditions that were abnormal. You know, we were behind on heat units through the first 3 months of the season. We were ahead on rainfall, you know, which obviously those two are related. So, you know, we had some struggles with the weather, but then you had this really strong price, you know, and it basically kept getting stronger as the season went. So I think that potentially the difference could be, you know, what does our weather look like in 2022? Because certainly weather played a big role in 2021.
And well, you and I both know, I mean, it's Oklahoma, so we'll have something to talk about for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, weather's always going to be something to talk about. Yeah. Yeah. To be an average year, it was a good year to be average because of price.
Well, let's talk a little bit about seeds, because I know producers right now are kind of thinking about what they might want to plant. And cotton seeds come a long way as far as different varieties and different traits. So talk to us a little bit about what's out there.
Yeah, different varieties and traits and way higher prices.
So, absolutely, yes.
Yeah, we're been a lot of innovation in seeds. You know, obviously you've got advances in sort of your basics. You know, you always want to have better yield than the year before. You always want to have advances in fiber quality or mitigate risk. So there's that. And then the trait thing is just, you know, it's kind of nuts. It's gone from something that was a little bit complicated, and there's a few of them, to now there's just so many different combinations. And you've got your herbicide trait packages, you've got your insecticide or your BT trait packages, then you've got these, you know, is it nematode resistant? What, how about blight, bacterial blight? What does it look like on reniform nematodes? How about verticillium? There's all these little other things now where maybe it's tolerant, maybe it's acceptable, maybe it's, you know, resistant to all these different potential pests. I guess the newest trait, or one of the newest traits, is there's kind of going to be another couple of new traits coming out in the next year or so, but ThriveOn, which is out now. So that targets thrips and plant bugs. I think for most Oklahoma, the thrips piece is going to be more relevant. We don't have as heavy a plant bug pressure in most of Oklahoma that grows cotton anyway, compared to the Mid-South and the lower Southeast. So for us, it's definitely more of a thrips trait. But, you know, at the same time, you know, with all these traits, they're not free. You know, if you're going to get, a new trait, you're going to be paying for it. And for a lot of our, you know, particularly dryland production, a lot of that cotton is probably going out with a base seed treatment to begin with. So we don't even have, we have a lot of cotton that goes out that doesn't have a thrips control measure in it to begin with. And so when we have issues like we saw in 2021, where we had maybe higher thrips pressure because of slower growing conditions, folks were making oversprays to address that concern. So how much of that is going to be, how much of a trait that you're paying for out of the box before, you even know if you're going to absolutely need it or not, are we going to see in Oklahoma? That's a tough one. That's tough to call. It's not something like herbicide traits where, I'm going to go out and spend the extra money to get the dicamba, the 2,4-D trait, because I know for a fact I want to spray or need to spray, or I'm going to spray, one of those two products. And so there's that. And then there are some new herbicides or a new herbicide trait that will probably commercial. I'm guessing, and I'm definitely not the one to give you the perfect answer for this, but I'm guessing 2023 will be the first year that we have a new herbicide trait out in cotton.
Do you find that Oklahoma producers tend to stick with, what works or kind of what's worked for them in the past, or do they kind of venture out and try some new things?
Yeah. I think you probably got folks in every category. You've got some that are going to try some new things. I think for Oklahoma, and I think a lot of the Southwest is this way, there's always that desire to optimize yield, but I think a lot of the mindset for producers is maybe I optimize yield through mitigating risk. So I've got all these things in our environment that work against me. We are lucky that we don't have as heavy of a pest pressure, insect pressure, as a lot of the places in the Cotton Belt. I'm not saying they don't exist, but I don't think anybody's going to say that our pest pressure, our insect pressure here is as high as places to the east. But we often have other things that work against us, and particularly we're in a drier climate. And a lot of times when we have irrigation, it's probably limited, particularly compared to irrigation in other parts of the belt. So I think a lot of the things that we do to try to optimize yield or optimize our profit, which is obviously the most important, comes more from trying to mitigate risk than it does from maybe, souping up with, the latest and greatest technology. Maybe we're trying to protect ourselves against a threat.
Well, and we did get a little bit of snow last week, so that's going to help as it goes across. But talk a little bit about what you do in these types of situations, because it hasn't rained in a lot of places for a while. So what does that look like going forward if this continues?
Well, not good.
Yes, for all parties involved, right? For everybody.
Nobody likes the situation. You look at a 90-day rainfall, and I think 120-day wouldn't be much better. I tell you what, it is kind of nuts how much rainfall some places have received in the last 90 days. Half an inch, 2/10, 4/10. It's just not a situation you're not confident in building that reserve, whether you're in, the district and you're trying to build the water levels in the lake, or you've got a pivot or drip and you're trying to build your own wells. It's just not a great situation. And that all goes back to two things. First of all, it goes back to mitigating risk. I'd say that more often than not, we would probably like to have more moisture in Oklahoma, at least in the cotton area, than we have. So this isn't necessarily unfamiliar territory. It certainly is getting borderline ridiculous, but it's not completely unfamiliar. We're still a long ways away. We got maybe another 90 days before we see a lot of cotton start getting planted. So the only thing I can think of is there's still plenty of time to rain, hopefully.
Hopefully so. Yes. Go wash your car, Seth. That's what we've all got to do. Well, so speaking of that, you said 90 days. So what should producers be doing or thinking about right now?
Yeah, hopefully you've got your seed booked or you've got ideas of what you'd like to get, and you've got an idea if it's going to be in supply. And I hate to use, I feel like supply chain issue. If I hear that word one more time, I'm going to scream. But you obviously it's an issue. And so you want to be able to know what you're going to get, know what, if what you want is available, and if not, what's your plan B and what's your plan C? That's the major thing. If you haven't, and I think we might have talked about this last time, if you haven't soil tested yet, again, with the prices of that input, I think this is going to be a year where it will definitely pay to soil test. And so highly recommend doing that. You know, a lot of folks may do it every other year, maybe every 3 years, or maybe they got a pretty, you know, sort of gut feeling of what they want to do, but this might be a year with the prices of that to make sure you know, are for sure. And then we are getting in, you know, I think last time we talked about potentially some of those yellows going out in March, you know, that need to be mechanically incorporated or watered in. It's really hard to mechanically incorporate anything when it's this dang dry. And so we go through this before where, you know, even if it's a product, a yellow herbicide that requires mechanical incorporation, we really need to have a rainfall before we can do that. And so I think a lot of things that might potentially be happening in the next, you know, 30 to 60 days are going to be very dependent on the conditions. Do we get a rain? Are we able to do any kind of field work? But other than that, you know, a lot of it's just going to be planning and probably making backup plans as far as if you don't have seed and chemical locked in, you know, what might be your backup plan?
Well, let's just pray for rain. That's what we got to do.
Yep.
All right. Dr. Seth Bird, thanks for visiting with us today.
No, thank you.